flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 12:07. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host of the show. I tell you, I don't know about y'all, but I was listening with great intensity to Al Shock's information about the snowstorm. Because I'm downstairs with 2 bottles of water, a half a gallon of apple juice, and enough snacks to last me until the end of this show. So I'm like texting Sean, like, as soon as I get off the radio, we got to get to the store, and we've got to buy all of our supplies. We got to get over to the Hy-Vee and make sure we got enough food and snacks for 3 meals a day in case they cancel school. You know, they canceled school now a little bit differently than they did when I talked to my friends who grew up in Minnesota, who were born and raised here. They talked to me all the time about walking in the snow up to their waist and, you know, putting Wonder Bread bags over their feet. And they canceled snow now for 3 to 4 inches. So I don't know how we can go back to the olden days, but I would like to, because otherwise I'm going to be buying up all the Cheez-Its and Goldfish at the Hy-Vee. So that's what I'll be doing. I suggest you also take stock and make sure that you have enough for 3 meals a day, just in case we lose power, just in case they cancel school, just in case all heaven breaks loose. We will be ready. I want y'all to be ready, because I'm not sharing my snacks with you. Okay. I am giving you a warning. Al Shock is giving you a warning. Paul Douglas has been giving you a warning that the snow may be severe. So don't knock over here at my door in Cottage Grove thinking you're going to get some of my Cheez-Its, because I'm telling you now, get over to the Hy-Vee, get your groceries. Okay. I love you, but not that much, not that much. And one thing I don't love is hearing reports about, situations that negatively impact kids. I don't know if you all saw this, but there was a report that recently came out. I follow WTTW News in Chicago, and it said 75%, 2/3 of young children in Chicago are exposed to dangerous lead levels in their water. That's 129,000 kids under the age of 6. Who live on those blocks with that contaminated water. You would think in the year of our Lord 2024, in these great United States of America in which we live, that children would be able to drink water that is not contaminated. And we know We've seen the stories about how lead impacts children, whether you get it into their system through the drinking water or there's lead paint in the home. It can have adverse impact on our young people, especially children under six. Everything is still developing. Everything is at risk. And so when I found out about a new program, well, it's not new to the people who do the program, but I just found out about it. It's a lead program where Hennepin County, if you listen in Hennepin County, I need you to listen up. If you know somebody who lives in Hennepin County, I need you to call them and tell them to listen up, because they have a program that provides funding for you to get the lead paint out of your home. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. If there's lead in your home, in the windows, in the paint, in the doors, and you live in Hennepin County, you do not have to pay for it to get removed. Okay, Shaletta, this sounds like a pipe dream, because I've been seeing the cracks in the paint, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. I don't have that kind of money. I'm getting ready to get my tax rebate. I was going to get caught up on a few bills, and I did not want to use that money to replace the windows in my home, but I want my grandchildren to be safe. Well, you know what? We're going to tell you all about a program that can help you do that. You can keep your money in your pocket. They're going to pay for it and even pay for you to go somewhere and stay while the work is being done. I want to bring on the show Zoa Powell. She's the Senior Planning Analyst with Hennepin County CDC Lead Program. She is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Zoa, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, Shaletta. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, I'm already getting text messages that say, okay, what's the catch? How does this program work? What do you need to do? You know, people don't believe that there is actually a grant, $15,000 that you can use to get the lead out of the home. So talk to me a little bit for anybody who's hearing about the program for the first time.
Yeah, so anybody in Hennepin County, not only our county, but some of the metro county, including Ramsey County and Minneapolis, have similar program like ours for this lead removals. And so for Hennepin County, if you live here and you are a resident, you can either be a renter or a homeowner. And if you live in a house that is built before 1978, you know, and you have children coming by to visit you or lived in your home, there is an income qualification for this, but at the same time, if you're worried about it, that's what we're here for. We're here to help you find these lead paints and remove these lead hazards from your home.
Now, where does the money to do the lead removal work come from? Is this a grant? Is this where is that money coming from? That's what somebody wants to know.
Yeah, so the money is funded through the Federal Urban Housing and Development program, which is to remove lead hazard from homes. And so we were funded since 2004. And since then, we have done over 4,000 lead risk assessment, meaning we go in and take a look at your house. And then on top of that, we have worked on over 2,000 homes to fix these lead hazards. And the good news is we were funded again last year for another $8 million for the next 5 years. So we have money that we can help you with it.
And now, go ahead.
I was going to say that the great thing is that each household that we do find that there is lead in there, there is that grant that is free money up to $15,000 to help fix these lead hazards.
And I imagine folks think, you know what, I don't think there's lead in my home. I'm not sure. This may not pertain to me. I may not qualify. How do people know if there's lead or not in their homes? Because this is the thing. The kids are going to school. They're out and about. But they spend a majority of their time in homes, at home, with the parents, with the grandparents, right? With an aunt or an uncle. And in this case, you know, you were telling me that, you know, you could have a daycare, a home daycare that will qualify. And so how do people know, or if they suspect that there is lead paint in their home? How do you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things is, if you don't even know when your home is built, Hennepin County, our website called the Hennepin County Property Tax website, can tell you. You just put in your number, the number to your house and the street that you live on, and it will tell you when your house is built. That's the first thing that you want to look at if you don't know when your house is built. But if you know that your house is built before 1978, there are some few signs that can really tell you if you have leaded paint in there. And one of the sure signs is this, when lead paint, when they deteriorate, that's the most dangerous of it, is when they deteriorate, they have this alligator skin pattern to them. And on top of that, they also create some pasty, chalky dust residues on them. Mm. One of the main concerns that we are worried about and that we want to always replace is olden wooden painted windows. And these are painted windows because they get inside your body is through lead dust. And lead dust is created from of these windows going up and down. And lead dust is everywhere. You don't see it. And now here you are touching it, inhaling it, digesting it into your body. And so those are like the main three things that I wanted to really talk about is the lead paint on there, and especially the windows, because that's where it's causing, and the doors, anything that causes that friction scraping against each other is causing that.
Now, what should people do if they're interested in taking part in the Hennepin County Lead Program? How can they sign up? Because I'm getting notes right here from Carmen and Jasmine who said, I need to get somebody in my home. I need to check to see if this is lead. I need to take advantage of this $15,000 grant to redo these windows because I got the chalk, I got the dust, I got the scraped up paint.
Yeah, so best thing to do, go to any your search engine and look up Hennepin County Lead Control. From there should be a little button that says intake form. All you need to do is fill out that intake form. It comes to us. We will call you. We will have somebody out to your house to check to see where all that lead dust is. And then our team, who is specialized and licensed to do this work, to check for those lead risk assessment, check for those lead hazards, will come out, take less than 2 hours to come and test out your whole house for both interior and exterior. So again, that's the intake form is through our Hennepin County intake form on our website, Hennepin County Lead Control. But if you don't have that kind of internet or you want to call and talk to somebody, the phone number that you can always call us is at 612-543-4182.
Okay, 612-543-4182. Zoopal, thank you so much for being on the show. I know that we are helping so many people. When I read that report about lead in Chicago and found out that you have this program available for Hennepin County residents, I knew that I wanted to have it on so we can keep our people updated about the services and resources that are available in our community. You have a wonderful Saturday. Thank you for joining the show.
Yes, thank you for having me. And I hope residents take advantage of this great program.
Yeah, and if it does not apply to you, tell a friend, and I tell you what, we'll be right back. It is 12:23. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's the Shaletta Show. I'm Shaletta Brundage. I'm hosting this thing. My friend Jonathan Lowe is here in the studio. Al Shock is bringing you the latest on news and weather. Now, Jonathan, did you hear what Al said? This big snowstorm. We're looking at the mollywhopper tomorrow. I know you are a trained meteorologist, but I need to know from you, are you the type of person who runs out to the store and buys up everything right before the snowstorm comes? Or do you just kind of say, you know what, I got enough stuff in here, I'll eat on what I got, I'm not going to get in those lines, I'm not going to worry about it?
I don't do the rushing to the store thing most of the time. I may, at the early part of the storm, maybe say, okay, let me go get a couple things, and here or there I'm close to a Cub, I'm close to a Lunds, I'm close to a Target, I don't need to go very far, fortunately, to get out in the storm if it needs to be that way and get what I need to get. But no, I'm not the person that goes and hoards all of the
toilet paper and paper towels, because that's your friend
bottle,
over here.
The bottled water.
Yeah, the hand sanitizer.
Yes.
And the juice and stuff.
Correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Butter, cheese. Yeah. If you are going to the Hy-Vee to get your groceries in Cottage Grove, I suggest you get over there now, because, baby, once I get off the air, Jonathan, it's a wrap. It is a whole wrap. I'm taking the kids' credit cards. I'm getting money out the college savings fund. I'm just going down the aisle. You remember those game shows where the people had the grocery carts and they gave them like 60 seconds to buy whatever they wanted.
Supermarket sweep.
And they would just go down the aisle and just push everything in the cart. That's me. That's me right there.
So I know in weather terms, we have different types of warnings. We have a flash flood warning. We have winter storm warnings, we have blizzard warnings, we have severe thunderstorm warnings, tornado warnings, we have all these different types of warnings. Should I alert the folks down in Chanhassen that we should have a Shaletta's coming warning? And just, you know, have a special siren that goes?
Call my Ramsey County Commissioner, Carla Begum, or my Cottage Grove City Councilman, Monique Garza, or Justin Olson, because maybe they need to put that on the siren, because I promise you at 3:02, I'm going to be in the car headed to the store.
I'll just inform them down there that they need to update their software on their sirens.
Please.
And so when this happens, you'll just hear, "She's coming!"
Yeah.
"No, she's coming!" And you just hear that over and over again for about 5 minutes. that's what'll happen.
Get out the way. Because, and this is the thing for me. Now, see, our situations are different, because you don't have any kids to supply snacks for. So the fear for me is that I will run out of snacks and food. If they close school, I have enough stuff to feed my children once a day right now. But if they close school, then I'm going to need two extra meals and all those extra snacks. And so the way my house is set up, it's not ready for all day children. See, in the summertime, I'm ready for all day children, but it is not the summertime. It is March 23rd. And so my groceries, my shopping list, everything I got going on in my life right now is set up for the children to be gone from 8 to 3.
I've never heard that term before. I've never heard that term used before. All day children.
All day
children. I didn't realize there was a category called all day children.
All day children. Yes, there is. There's a half day children. There's a nighttime children. There's morning children. And then there's all day children. So my house right now is set up for part-time children. Like, I have them in the morning. And then I have them in the evening, and the teachers and the cafeteria ladies and the janitor and the principal are responsible for them from 8 to 3. So if I'm going to set up for all day children, then I need to regroup and do a deep dive and see exactly how many. I mean, I'm taking inventory. I'm like counting goldfish, because we cannot. The main thing is not running out of those snacks, because the snacks are to keep them quiet. You see how quiet my house is right now? It's because that we good on snacks. See, because I'm prepared for Saturday all day children. I'm prepared for Sunday all day children. Monday, my house is not set up for it. So I just need to be set up for a couple of days of all day children, just in case school closes. Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to update the charts online, create a new chart, actually, because the charts on the National Weather Service, we need a Shaletta warning. That is imminent. That is a certainty.
Yes,
but
we do.
Now
I
we need a chart for the different type of children that you encompass in your home, because mm-hmm. I've never seen that chart before, and I'm not a parent. I've never been a parent,
right.
So I can't say that that's something that I would have thought of had I been a dad. But it sounds like something that I probably would have thought of had I been a dad.
Yeah.
So I think that is something that needs to be brought to the forefront, is that there are different types of children that go through your home.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, Andrew is just a nighttime child. So the younger children are AM and PM. He gets up, he's headed straight to school. We don't see him in the morning. It's like we hear some rumbling, we hear some grunting, and the teenager's gone. And then the teenager works after school. So the teenager doesn't come home until 9:00. So it's you know how much teenagers eat? So if the teenager is eating here, Oh my God. I have to, yeah, because the teenager will eat all the food. And so my responsibility is to make sure that the small children don't get left out because the teenager is bigger and he's quicker. So if he gets to the goldfish first, it's a wrap. So not only do we have to buy food, Jonathan, because you're alone, and you know if you buy a bag of chips and you put them up, you know when you go back, they're gonna be there. You don't have to worry about them. You don't have to wonder if, you know, eat them quickly. Well, here there's six people. And so we may go to the store and someone says, I want chips, and we get the chips and we put them up in the cabinet, but then they don't want to eat them right away. Well, then one of the other kids or adults comes along and says, I got a taste for some baked Lays. And then by the time they go back 2 or 3 days later, their baked Lays are gone. So we have also invested in a label machine. And so when you go to the store, you pick your snacks. Now we have some house snacks, but then we have some specialty snacks, right? And so when you get your specialty snacks, then we'll label that so that if somebody gets hungry or thirsty, because sometimes snack can be a special drink, then if you see that someone's name is on it, you are technically not supposed to eat it. But you know the teenager, he's like, "Oh, I didn't see anybody's name on it." When you rip the bag open and it said Brandon, didn't I say Andrew? Okay, so those are also some we got to make sure we got. I'm gonna put this on the list now. We got to make sure our label machine has enough label paper in it because once I go to the store with my supermarket sweep and buy up all the groceries, I'm gonna need to label some of them. So that's gonna go on my list too.
This is fascinating.
Justin's over there like, wow.
I hope parents everywhere are writing this down and either nodding along saying, yes, this is
I was going to say,
absolutely accurate.
parents are listening, and I just send a shout out to all the moms and dads who are out running errands and grocery shopping, and told them to listen in because this is our life. This is our lifestyle. This is what we are going to be doing today because when tomorrow comes, it's a wrap. Nobody wants to be in the store with snow on the ground with four kids. No, this is the day to do it. This today. Okay, now we got weather coming up. We've got more awesome conversation with my friend Jonathan, and we've got some great guests, so stick around. Back when Jonathan and I were interning and doing this whole broadcasting thing in college, it was hard to get an internship because internships back then were unpaid. And a lot of us who were working our way through school and paying for our own tuition and paying for our rent and paying for the bus and buying our own food, we couldn't afford to go to New York and do a CBS internship, even if we got the opportunity, because we didn't have the funding. And so a lot of those opportunities missed us. And we, thank God, made it. But I can look and see a lot of my friends who were in journalism school with me at the University of Houston who had hopes and dreams of being a broadcaster or a producer or a meteorologist or any number of things are doing other stuff because they missed out on that opportunity. And so when they got out of school, they had a hard time finding a job because they didn't get that experience. And because they didn't get that experience, they kept not being able to get a job. And so they are in other fields. And we look back over that time and we think, wow, what could have happened? I know for me, I got an internship at CBS News Path. It was unpaid. My dad's brother lived in New York, so he let me sleep in a room at his boarding house. And the people at the local news station in Houston heard about my story. They passed a hat and they raised $700, which is a lot of money at the time. And it fed me for 3 months. I was very frugal. I knew that I wasn't going to have any more money other than that. So I rode the train. I bought groceries and I cooked at my uncle's place. I didn't go out. I didn't hang out because I knew I didn't have any money to do that. And so that's why I got that internship that I needed to get a job when I graduated. So when I start thinking about the work that 360 Journalism is doing, I just can't talk about it enough, because it's allowing dreams to take flight. Young people who want to be broadcasters can go to and through this program and get the experience and the connections that they need so that they can be the storytellers 10 years from now, when me and Jonathan are too old to remember who we are and where we are. And so I just have to give some snaps, some shout outs, some round of applause to Kenzie O'Keefe. She is the director at 360 Journalism, and she's joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hey, Kenzie girl.
Hi, Celetta. It's good to be here.
It is so good to have you. Now, I remember when I first got to Minnesota back in 2004, I worked with Angela Davis. She was the host of the morning show, and I was an overnight weekend assignments editor. And she took me under her wing and loved me like her little sister. And she introduced me to 360 Journalism, because she and her husband, Deshaun, have always been very active in helping these young journalists who are a part of the program. So I know all about 360 Journalism. It was one of the first things I found out about, one of the first ways I was able to give back to these Twin Cities communities. But for some people, this is the first time that they're hearing about 360 Journalism. So tell us what it's all about.
Absolutely. And first of all, thank you for having me on your show to tell folks who don't know about 360 about 360. This is an incredible program. I've had the privilege of leading it since just October of last year. But like you mentioned, it's existed since, in some form, since the 70s, and in its current iteration since the early 2000s. So you were involved way back at the beginning. But 360 is a journalism and multimedia storytelling training program that starts in high school. We serve over 100 high school students every year, giving them opportunities to learn more about kind of the technical and ethical tools needed in order to practice journalism and storytelling, connecting them to mentors, giving them real-world opportunities to practice those skills. And then we support them as they go on after high school in the ways that you described being really powerful. We help them access college scholarships. We help them access internships. We support them as they go into their early careers need opportunity. We're here to provide that opportunity in many different forms.
So I want to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want to talk about what those opportunities look like. How do you provide those opportunities, and how can our listeners help you do more to invest in our young people? More when we come back. Right now, I'm talking to Kenzie O'Keefe about 360 Journalism. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about, Kenzie, was the programs and services and resources that you offer to these young people. What does that look like? How does that take shape?
Yes, absolutely. So we offer year-round programming for high school students. So that looks like week-long, weekend-long, one-off, one day. There's a whole host of different options, educational learning opportunities related to storytelling. And our program is housed at the University of St. Thomas. So we offer high school students access to all of the resources that the university has to offer. We're in a big, brand new, beautiful STEAM building, the Schenecker Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So students have access to studios, podcast studios, TV studios, state-of-the-art classrooms, and opportunities to connect with each other and professors in the field and practitioners, journalists practicing in the field. It's a pretty incredible setup.
Okay, now tell me this. How do kids find out about it? Is it through their high school counselors? Are you guys actively recruiting? How do kids get a chance to get involved in an amazing program like this? Because I know I got a 17-year-old, and anytime he's able to be on a college campus, he just loves it. I mean, that in itself is a treat, right?
Yes, absolutely. So we connect with young people in all sorts of different ways. We do our best to connect with relevant teachers in as many Twin Cities schools as possible. So That's one way young people find out about us. Some find out about us through our website, 360.stthomas.edu. They find out about us through social media. But I would say the main way people find out about us is through word of mouth. The students who participate in our programming tend to love it. They tell their siblings, they tell their friends, they tell their teachers, and word spreads. And I should have mentioned earlier, 360 has a racial and economic equity mission, and so all of our programming is free. Cost is not a barrier. We don't let it be a barrier, and we actually offer youth stipends in some cases because we know, you know, many students have to choose between working and participating in programming like this. So we make it accessible, and we're out and about in community in spaces where we know, you know, the young people that we want to serve are. So community centers. Yeah, everywhere we try to be.
Now, it's free for young people, but you all need the community to continue to support this program because there are kids on the waiting list who want to get into this program, but it takes resources. It takes staff. It takes programming. And there's only so much you can do. How can folks who are listening to this show help you to continue to do the work that you're doing to help young journalists?
Thank you for that question. Yes, we have more demand for our programming than capacity to offer it. So like I said, we serve more than 100 youth every year, and we could easily be serving a couple hundred or more. So we're funded through donations and philanthropy grants. We hustle to raise the money needed to, again, make these opportunities accessible to our young people and to be able to provide them with college scholarships. We offer a full tuition scholarship right now every year to one of our students. And every year we have many students who compete for that scholarship. And again, we'd like to be able to offer more. So folks can get to us, again, through our website.
Wait, give them the website. You didn't give them the website. You said they can donate through the website. Somebody's listening. I need you to give them the website. Stop. Give me the website.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 360. That's the number is spelled out. So 360.stthomas, stthomas.edu.
Okay.
And you can donate on the website.
So where's the donate us button? It's right at the top, right? Okay. All right.
Yep,
I want to make sure they find it.
Right at the top, bright orange, customist.
Okay. And then you also have an event coming up. You've got to tell us about that.
Absolutely. Yes. So we have an event Saturday, April 13th. It's our annual celebration and fundraiser. We call it Homecoming because it's an opportunity for everyone in our community to come together and celebrate all the great things about 360, to connect with each other. Again, networking is core to our mission, and raise some money for the program. It's going to be a great night. It's at the Granada Theater this year in Minneapolis. We'll be spotlighting some of our incredible students and their work. And again, we'll be raising money for the program.
And so how can people get tickets? Is it tickets at the door? Can you go online and get tickets ahead of time? Is it a sit-down plated event? Is it kind of stand-up and everybody just kind of mingling? What's the program going to be like?
Yeah. So here's how it works. So folks need to buy tickets ahead of time. That can also be done on our website. It's easy to find. Again, go to 360.stthomas.edu, go to events at the top of the homepage, and you will see lots of information about it. It's a Saturday night, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. It begins with kind of a mingling hour. There will be dinner during that time, but it's, you know, it's networking, it's mingling. There's a bar. Folks can connect about an hour in. Folks will take their seats in the historic Granada Theater, and there will be a program that will be about an hour long. It is going to be co-hosted by you.
Back when Jonathan and I were interning and doing this whole broadcasting thing in college, it was hard to get an internship. Because internships back then were unpaid. And a lot of us who were working our way through school and paying for our own tuition and paying for our rent and paying for the bus and buying our own food, we couldn't afford to go to New York and do a CBS internship, even if we got the opportunity, because we didn't have the funding. And so a lot of those opportunities missed us. And we, thank God, made it. But I can look and see a lot of my friends who were in journalism school with me at the University of Houston, who had hopes and dreams of being a broadcaster or a producer or a meteorologist or any number of things, are doing other stuff because they missed out on that opportunity. And so when they got out of school, they had a hard time finding a job because they didn't get that experience. And because they didn't get that experience, they kept not being able to get a job. And so they are in other fields. And we look back over that time and we think, wow, what could have happened? I know for me, I got an internship at CBS NewsPath. It was unpaid. My dad's brother lived in New York, so he let me sleep in a room at his boarding house. And the people at the local news station in Houston heard about my story. They passed a hat and they raised $700, which is a lot of money at the time. And it fed me for 3 months. I was very frugal. I knew that I wasn't going to have any more money other than that. So I rode the train. I bought groceries and I cooked at my uncle's place. I didn't go out. I didn't hang out because I knew I didn't have any money to do that. And so that's why I got that internship that I needed to get a job when I graduated. So when I start thinking about the work that 360 Journalism is doing, I just can't talk about it enough because it's allowing dreams to take flight. Young people who want to be broadcasters can go to and through this program and get the experience and the connections that they need so that they can be the storytellers 10 years from now. When me and Jonathan are too old to remember who we are, and where we are. And so I just have to give some snaps, some shout outs, some round of applause to Kenzie O'Keefe. She is the director at 360 Journalism, and she's joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hey, Kenzie girl.
Hi, Celetta. It's good to be here.
It is so good to have you. Now, I remember when I first got to Minnesota back in 2004, I worked with Angela Davis. She was the host of the morning show, and I was an overnight weekend assignments editor. And she took me under her wing and loved me like her little sister. And she introduced me to 360 Journalism because she and her husband, Deshaun, have always been very active in helping these young journalists who are a part of the program. So I know all about 360 Journalism. It was one of the first things I found out about, one of the first ways I was able to give back to these Twin Cities communities. But for some people, this is the first time that they're hearing about 360 Journalism. So tell us what it's all about.
Absolutely. And first of all, thank you for having me on your show to tell folks who don't know about 360 about 360. This is an incredible program. I've had the privilege of leading it since just October of last year. But like you mentioned, it's existed since, in some form, since the 70s, and in its current iteration since the early 2000s. So you were involved way back at the beginning. But 360 is a journalism and multimedia storytelling training program that starts in high school. We serve over 100 high school students every year, giving them opportunities to learn more about kind of the technical and ethical tools needed in order to practice journalism and storytelling, connecting them to mentors, giving them real-world opportunities to practice those skills. And then we support them as they go on after high school in the ways that you described being really powerful. We help them access college scholarships. We help them access internships. We support them as they go into their early careers need opportunity. We're here to provide that opportunity in many different forms.
So I want to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want to talk about what those opportunities look like. How do you provide those opportunities, and how can our listeners help you do more to invest in our young people. More when we come back. Right now, I'm talking to Kenzie O'Keefe about 360 journalism. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about, Kenzie, was the programs and services and resources that you offer to these young people. What does that look like? How does that take shape?
Yes, absolutely. So we offer year-round programming for high school students. So that looks like week-long, weekend-long, one-off, one day. There's a whole host of different options, educational learning opportunities related to storytelling. And our program is housed at the University of St. Thomas. So we offer high school students access to all of the resources that the university has to offer. We're in a big, brand new, beautiful STEAM building, the Shenaker Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So students have access to studios, podcast studios, TV studios, state-of-the-art classrooms, and opportunities to connect with each other and professors in the field and practitioners, journalists practicing in the field. It's a pretty incredible setup.
Okay, now tell me this. How do kids find out about it? Is it through their high school counselors? Are you guys actively recruiting? How do kids get a chance to get involved in an amazing program like this? Because I know I got a 17-year-old, and anytime he's able to be on a college campus, he just loves it. I mean, that in itself is a treat, right?
Yes, absolutely. So we connect with young people in all sorts of different ways. We do our best to connect with relevant teachers in as many Twin Cities schools as possible. So that's one way young people find out about us. Some find out about us through our website, 360.stthomas.edu. They find out about us through social media. But I would say the main way people find out about us is through word of mouth. The students who participate in our programming tend to love it. They tell their siblings, they tell their friends, they tell their teachers, and word spreads. And I should have mentioned earlier, 360 has a racial and economic equity mission. And so all of our programming is free. Cost is not a barrier. We don't let it be a barrier. And we actually offer youth stipends in some cases because we know, you know, many students have to choose between working and participating in programming like this. So we make it accessible. And we're out and about in community in spaces where we know, you know, the young people that we want to serve are. So community centers, yeah, everywhere we try to be.
Now, it's free for young people, but you all need the community to continue to support this program because there are kids on the waiting list who want to get into this program, but it takes resources, it takes staff, it takes programming, and there's only so much you can do. How can folks who are listening to this show help you to continue to do the work that you're doing to help young journalists?
Thank you for that question. Yes, we have more demand for our programming than capacity to offer it. So like I said, we serve more than 100 youth every year, and we could easily be serving a couple hundred or more. So we're funded through donations and philanthropy grants. We hustle to raise the money needed to, again, make these opportunities accessible to our young people and to be able to provide them with college scholarships. We offer a full tuition scholarship right now every year to one of our students. And every year we have many students who compete for that scholarship. And again, we'd like to be able to offer more. So folks can get to us, again, through our website. They can also...
Wait, give them the website. You didn't give them the website. You said they can donate through the website. Somebody's listening. I need you to give them the website. Stop. Give me the website.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 360, that's the numbers spelled out. So 360.stthomas, stthomas.edu.
Okay.
And you can donate on the
www.3theesixty.stthomas.edu. So where's the donate us button? It's right at the top, right? Okay. All right.
Yep,
I want to make sure they find it.
Right at the top, bright orange, customist.
Okay. And then you also have an event coming up. You've got to tell us about that.
Absolutely. Yes. So we have an event Saturday, April 13th. It's our annual celebration and fundraiser. We call it Homecoming because it's an opportunity for everyone in our community to come together and celebrate all the great things about 360, to connect with each other. Again, networking is core to our mission, and raise some money for the program. It's going to be a great night. It's at the Granada Theater this year in Minneapolis. We'll be spotlighting some of our incredible students and their work. And again, we'll be raising money for the program.
And so how can people get tickets? Is it tickets at the door? Can you go online and get tickets ahead of time? Is it a sit-down plated event? Is it kind of stand-up and everybody just kind of mingling? What's the program going to be like?
Yeah. So here's how it works. So folks need to buy tickets ahead of time. That can also be done on our website. It's easy to find. Again, go to 360.stthomas.edu, go to events at the top of the homepage, and you will see lots of information about it. It's a Saturday night, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. It begins with kind of a mingling hour. There'll be dinner during that time, but it's networking, it's mingling. There's a bar. Folks can connect about an hour in. Folks will take their seats in the historic Granada Theater, and there will be a program that will be about an hour long. It is going to be co-hosted by you. Thank you very much.
And, yay!
One of our standout students who you've met, Marquand Harper, a senior at Twin Cities Academy. More of our students will be up on stage sharing their work, sharing what the program means to them. And we also have two very special guests that will be there that night that I know the crowd will be excited to hear from. Adrian Broaddus, who's an NBC News correspondent, who's coming to town to speak to the power of our program. And Mukhtar Ibrahim, the CEO and founder of Sahan Journal. Will be there as well.
That is going to be an amazing event. Kenzie, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, get on the website, make a donation, buy a ticket, get to the program, and make sure you get back here for news and weather, because we've got more of the Shaletta Show coming up. Right now, I'm talking to Kenzie O'Keefe about 360 journalism. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about, Kenzie, was the programs and services and resources that you offer to these young people. What does that look like? How does that take shape?
Yes, absolutely. So we offer year-round programming for high school students. So that looks like week-long, weekend-long, one-off, one-day. There's a whole host of different options, educational learning opportunities related to storytelling. And our program is housed at the University of St. Thomas. So we offer high school students access to all of the resources that the university has to offer. We're in a big, brand new, beautiful STEAM building, the Shenaker Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So students have access to studios, podcast studios, TV studios, state-of-the-art classrooms, and opportunities to connect with each other and professors in the field and practitioners, journalists practicing in the field. It's a pretty incredible setup.
Okay, now tell me this. How do kids find out about it? Is it through their high school counselors? Are you guys actively recruiting? How do kids get a chance to get involved in an amazing program like this? Because I know I got a 17-year-old, and anytime he's able to be on a college campus, he just loves it. I mean, that in itself is a treat, right?
Yes, absolutely. So we connect with young people in all sorts of different ways. We do our best to connect with relevant teachers in as many Twin Cities schools as possible. So that's one way young people find out about us. Some find out about us through our website, 360.stthomas.edu. They find out about us through social media. But I would say the main way people find out about us is through word of mouth. The students who participate in our mm-hmm. programming tend to love it. They tell their siblings, they tell their friends, they tell their teachers, and word spreads. And I should have mentioned earlier, 360 has a racial and economic equity mission, and so all mm-hmm. of our programming is free. Cost is not a barrier. We don't let it be a barrier. And we actually offer youth stipends in some cases, because we know, many students have to choose between working and participating in programming like this. Mm-hmm. So we make it accessible. And we're out and about in community in spaces where we know, the young people that we want to serve are. So community centers, everywhere we try to be.
Now, it's free for young people, but you all need the community to continue to support this program, because there are kids on the waiting list who want to get into this program, but it takes resources, it takes staff, it takes programming, and there's only so much you can do. How can folks who are listening to this show help you to continue to do the work that you're doing to help young journalists?
Thank you for that question. Yes, we have more demand for our programming than capacity to offer it. So like I said, we serve more than 100 youth every year, and we could easily be serving a couple hundred or more. So we're funded through donations and philanthropy grants. We hustle to raise the money needed to, again, make these opportunities accessible to our young people and to be able to provide them with college scholarships. We offer a full tuition scholarship right now every year to one of our students. And every year we have many students who compete for that scholarship. And again, we'd like to be able to offer more. So folks can get to us, again, through our website.
Wait, give them the website. You didn't give them the website. You said they can donate through the website. Somebody's listening. I need you to give them the website. Stop. Give me the website.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 360, that's the numbers spelled out. So 360.stthomas.edu.
Okay.
And you can donate on the website.
thomas.edu. So where's the donate us button? It's right at the top, right? Okay. All right.
Yep,
I want to make sure they find it.
Right at the top, bright orange, tough to miss.
Okay. And then you also have an event coming up. You've got to tell us about that.
Absolutely. Yes. So we have an event Saturday, April 13th. It's our annual celebration and fundraiser. We call it Homecoming because it's an opportunity for everyone in our community to come together and celebrate all the great things about 360, to connect with each other. Again, networking is core to our mission, and raise some money for the program. It's going to be a great night. It's at the Granada Theater this year in Minneapolis. We'll be spotlighting some of our incredible students and their work. And again, we'll be raising money for the program.
And so how can people get tickets? Is it tickets at the door? Can you go online and get tickets ahead of time? Is it a sit-down plated event? Is it kind of stand up and everybody just kind of mingling? What's the program going to be like?
Yeah. So here's how it works. So folks need to buy tickets ahead of time. That can also be done on our website. It's easy to find. Again, go to 360.stthomas.edu, go to events at the top of the homepage, and you will see lots of information about it. It's a Saturday night, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. It begins with kind of a mingling hour. There'll be dinner during that time, but it's, it's networking, it's mingling. There's a bar, folks can connect about an hour in. Folks will take their seats in the historic Granada Theater, and there will be a program that will be about an hour long. It is going to be co-hosted by you, thank you very much,
and yay!
One of our standout students who you've met, Marquand Harper, a senior at Twin Cities Academy. More of our students will be up on stage sharing their work, sharing what the program means to them. And we also have two very special guests that will be there that night that I know the crowd will be excited to hear from. Adrian Broaddus, who's an NBC News correspondent, who's coming to town to speak to the power of our program. And Mukhtar Ibrahim, the CEO and founder of Sahan Journal. We'll be there as well.
That is going to be an amazing event. Kenzie, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, get on the website, make a donation, buy a ticket, get to the program, and make sure you get back here for news and weather, because we've got more of the Shaletta Show coming up.